Just say this with me. I make a decision right now to trust in what God says and not what I see. I make a decision to put Him first and to follow Him, knowing that my future and His plans are perfect. In Him, I can do all things because He strengthens me. He leads me in the way I should go. He prospers me in everything I put my hand to. Therefore, I decide right now, my trust and my hope is in Him, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, let's give Him praise this morning. That's a great song. How many of you know sometimes it just doesn't go the way you think? But we don't give up on Him. And just as important, we don't give up on ourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't give up on yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, let's make our confession this morning. God has a great word for us this morning. I believe that He wants to encourage each of us to rise up and take the journey that He has set before us. Amen. Let's say this together. I am here on purpose because I have a purpose. My heart is open. My mind is ready to receive because God is not finished with me yet. My best days are right in front of me, and I have victory in my life because Jesus lives in me. Everybody say amen. You can be seated. Let's watch this video this morning.
Consistency separates winners from wannabes. Diligence makes the difference between all-time greats and one-hit wonders. For the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, but to the one who endures to the end. So pick yourself up, shake your past off, put one foot in front of the other, and do it again. When you hear that little voice saying no one believes in you, you're too far behind, you're too small, this isn't working and this isn't worth it, another voice rises to remind you that the same power, the same strength, the same Spirit that raised the Savior from a borrowed grave is alive and active in you. The same God who delivered you from the lion and the bear can and will deliver this new giant into your hands. So draw the line, take your stand, and just like you wielded your weapons last time, do it again. You've been here before. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And if He caused you to triumph back then, be confident. He'll do it again. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. And in His name, you are unstoppable. But receiving this promise requires perseverance. I know sometimes it's hard to keep it moving when you can't see your progress, when you've lost your perspective, when the pain has pushed you past your breaking point. But this is no time to tap out, because the end of yourself is the beginning of Him. So fix your focus, wake your courage, stir your confidence, and do it again. Set your face like flint with determination and declare, I will do it again. When it doesn't make sense, I'll do it again. When I have to go against the wind, I'll do it again. When all hell is breaking loose, when it feels like hope has disappeared from the horizon, and I've waited for rain, but I don't see any signs, I will look again, lifting my eyes to the skies. I see a cloud the size of a man's head starting to expand, and it may start small, but little is much when God is in it. And I know I'll win if I just don't quit. Don't you dare quit. When you march six laps and still the walls won't fall, take another lap. You're closer than you think you are. You're closer than you've ever been before. Walk on. Show up today and the next day and the next day. Press till something happens. Pray till something changes. Push till something breaks. Stay within yourself. Whatever it takes. No matter what they say, no matter what I feel, I've got a job to do, and I will see this through until God's kingdom comes and His will is done in my life. I'm leaving every excuse behind. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm taking up my cross and following the one who never stopped short, who never surrendered, who said,
forsake me. Jesus is with me always. He came and conquered. He died and rose again. And now he's calling me, causing me, commanding me to breathe again, hope again, trust again, give again, change again, expect again, rejoice again, fight again, rise again, right here, right now, in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I will live again.
Amen. Amen. Turn your name and say, I will live again. I will live again. You have to rise. Everybody say, you have to rise. You have to rise up and begin to take your journey. That's the title of the series for the next few weeks. We just finished a series on You Can Start Over. And I was praying about what we would do all the way into Easter. And I was going to do You Can Start Over. I thought, that's a long time, Lord, 6 weeks of You Can Start Over. And so I had been praying about the message. And I was talking with my son one day, and he was telling me about how he plays chess with his brother, one of his brothers, and on his phone. And I thought, on your phone you play chess? Because, you know, chess is kind of a game of concentration. You really have to think about. I don't play chess, but I've watched my husband play chess. And so I was really fascinated by that. And he said, yeah, he said, I said, how do you do that? He said, well, you know, we just play back and forth, and right now he's waiting on me. It's my move. Everybody say, it's my move. Well, you know, I didn't think too much about it. I listened to what he said, and I woke up real early in the morning, earlier in the week, and I was praying, had asked God to show me what we would share all the way going into Easter. And I woke up and I heard, it's my move. Everybody say, it's my move. It's my move. It's your move today to be on time. Everybody say, on time. See, there's a timing with God for what God wants to do. And I believe the series that we just shared, You Can Start Over, and you can get those CDs back in the bookstore, or you can listen online. But there were 4 weeks of You Can Start Over. Last week we finished with the scriptures in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Number one, everybody say, I need to lay hold of. You need to lay hold of what? What Christ Jesus has already laid hold of you for. That's what it says in verse 12 of chapter 3 of Philippians. Then it goes on and it says, I press on. Not that I've already made it. How many of you know you just go from glory to glory with God? Not that I've already gotten to where I'm going, but I press on. I forget those things that are behind me, and I reach. Everybody say reach. You know, we have to stretch ourselves. We have to reach out to go after the things that God has for us. And then as we do that, we begin to press on toward the goal. Everybody say the goal. Now, the goal is where God's taking us. It may not always be where we want to go. It's not maybe necessarily where we're eventually going to be, but there is a goal. There is always something that's pressing, that we need to press into, that's pushing, encouraging, exhorting, moving us toward that place. And oftentimes fear and other things stop us. And that's kind of what we talked about all last month. But today, everybody say, today, it's your move. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your move. And out of that, because I read through the Bible, I was just getting ready to move into Deuteronomy. And I'm a little bit ahead in my Bible reading, but you know, the children of Israel, they had to start over. Some of them that were under 20 had to just start all new, because everyone who had disobeyed, who was stiff-necked, who wouldn't follow God, who doubted and lived in unbelief and all those things, all that generation of people were going to die in a wilderness. Why? Because God had told them, I'm going to give you this land. And when they got to that land and he went to send them in, they backed up and they didn't believe the report. They believed a report, but it wasn't the right report. How many of you ever believed the wrong report? Just listen to the weatherman, okay? Because 90% of the time it seems like they're not quite right. But God, in his mercy, through Moses, let the people go in and spy out the land. Let them see what it was going to be like. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, and he wrote all the first five books, but in the book of Deuteronomy, the last book he wrote, he says that the people ask him to go in and see. In the book of Numbers, it says that Moses sent them in. I don't know it was because they were harassing him to let them go in and just see if they could do it. How many of you have ever thought, well, if I could just see if I could do it, I'd do it. You know, then I would move. And whichever way it was, 10 of the 12 leaders, everybody say leaders. Now, these are people that are leaders over tribes, 12 tribes. Those 10 men came back with a report that the Bible says, and I don't have time today to take you through every scripture, but it says they discouraged the people. Everybody say discouraged. They discouraged the people about going into that promised land. Now, two, Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can do this. We are well able. But they said, we're well able because God has promised this. They didn't say, we know how and you guys don't. They said, we're able to do this because it's our destiny. It's what God has called us to do. And God is going to be with us. But the people believed the 10 that said, we are grasshoppers. Basically, I believe in that whole text, it's these two trusted God. These 10 did not. And because they did not, they would never have been able to conquer their enemies. Can I say that again? In God's mercy, he took them to the wilderness. Because where there's doubt and unbelief, you cannot achieve the victory. It's awful quiet in here today. Shake somebody and say, are you here? Because this is the truth. When in my life, God has shown me, if you can't get the victory here, then you will not get the victory where I'm taking you. So you're going to have to stay here until I know you can get the victory. Why he decided that anybody over 20 could not get the victory, that's between God and them. But I know this, none of them went in to the promise. None of them got to see the promise. But all those 20 and under. Now, meanwhile, Joshua and Caleb, it says in the Bible, Joshua was 80 when God said, okay, it's time. Everybody say it's time. You know, I think he was 80. It says Moses was 120. I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I could do this at 120. And Moses had even been told, and we're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy, at this point, he had been told, you're not going. However, you know, all those people you had all that trouble with, now I'm going to give you a whole bunch more and you can try again. At 120, who would want to do that at 120? Often think of our president. He's 70-something, and he decides to be president when he's a billionaire. Why would you want to do that? I mean, he had the nicest place to live, I'm sure, nicer maybe even in the White House. But because he had a cause, now you may not believe in him today, that's fine. But I'm telling you, he decided it was his move. And that's why he stepped up and said, okay, I'm going in. Everybody say, I'm going in. And he went in to a position that he has been attacked from the very beginning of his saying, I'm going to do this. But he felt it was his time and his cause was the United States of America. He may have a big ego, but I'm telling you, no ego's worth what he's been through. He has a call evidently in his heart to see America be great again. Is he going to do it all right? I don't know. But I'm telling you, when there's a leader, we're called to pray for the leader. I prayed for the last president. I pray for this president. I pray that the people who lead will lead the way they're supposed to. Moses was the leader of these people. And so Joshua had been his understudy. He had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years because 10 people that he hung out with. Did you hear me? 10 people that he hung out with said, we can't do it. The one guy that was in agreement with him, they both got to go to the wilderness because of all those people. But now it's time. Everybody say it's time. And I believe that's where the church is, not just this church. I believe church worldwide. I believe there is a revival coming. But the word revival means you revive somebody. Well, dead people have to be breathed, have life breathed into them. But people who've been full of air and are out, they have to be revived too. And that's the church. Everybody say the church. And that's people making a decision. I'm going to go in and possess what God called me to possess. And I believe it's that time. I do believe it's that time for this church because I know the messages that God's been giving. And so from the beginning of the year to now, there's a escalation that things are getting, they're going up. Everybody say going up. Now, In this time, all of those who had come out of Egypt that were over 20 died in the wilderness. So we have a very young group of people that now Moses is going to lead. I mean, they're not all under 20. Of course, they've been there for 40 years. But they're younger. They're a younger generation than what originally was told. And what Moses says at the very beginning of Deuteronomy, he begins to tell them about this group that didn't do it. And they were told what to do. They were told to cross over. They had been told that it was a good land. It was a land that God had provided for them, that God was going to give it to them. It wasn't something that they would just walk in and have it. They would have to fight battles. They would have to go through things. But it did belong to them. And it had belonged to them from back when God promised Abraham in the book of Genesis. Now, Moses wrote all those first five books, so he wrote the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, you know, the promise to Abraham that his descendants, everybody say descendants, his descendants would inherit a land. It also says in chapter 15 that for 400 years they would be in bondage in a land. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt for around 400, 430 years, just as God told Abraham. Moses was the one that would begin to take them toward the promised land and eventually take them right to the promised land to cross over. But Joshua, everybody say Joshua, would be the one who would take them in. But he also said that your descendants, he took them outside and said, see those stars, they'll be as numerous as all those stars. When you read the first chapter of Deuteronomy, you will hear and see what Moses says is, you are as numerous as the stars. He is confirming, everybody say confirming, that this promise, this plan of God is still going to happen. It's still going to happen. And he has all this new generation that has seen all these people die in the wilderness. Some of them have seen some of those miracle signs and wonders that they saw through that early time. And he finally says, okay, it's time to go in. I've told you all their mistakes, and this is what's going to happen. It's actually verse 34. He says to them, the Lord heard the sound of your words. This is the first generation, and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me, this is Moses speaking, for your sakes, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him. Everybody say, encourage him. See, the 10 spies discouraged the people. There's now what the word of God is here is encourage. Everybody say, encourage. When you begin to rise up and take your journey, especially after there's been a failure, there's going to be things that happen that say, see, it's just like it used to be. See, it's going to be just like it used to be. See, you can't do that. See this, see that. But that was not what Moses was saying. He was saying, don't discourage them. Don't see what they're not doing. See what I'm going to do. Encourage them. Encourage Joshua. Encourage the leaders. And so he goes on and says that he will cause Israel to inherit it. In other words, he's the one that will take them in. Moses, even though he had given his life to this and would not see it, continued all that time to encourage Joshua, to speak over Joshua what needed to be spoken over him, to encourage him to do what God had called him to do. That takes a pretty strong person to know that because of all those grouchy people, I made a mistake. But on the other hand, I'm committed to God. Everybody say, I'm committed to God. So whatever the cost of the cause, I'm willing to take it. I will see to it that these people get where they're supposed to go. Not that they would be his people anymore. Then they would be Joshua's people. But he was willing. And so he says in chapter 2, verse 24, rise, take up your journey. That's the message today. Rise, take up your journey. It's your move. It's your move. And cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given, everybody say, the Lord has given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it. Everybody say, begin. And then he says, engage him in battle. The minute you begin to rise up and go to take your journey, you will begin to have to engage in a fight with the enemy. because there is no way he's going to give you a freebie, especially after these people have already been defeated once. He's even got a memory he can bring back to say, you didn't make it the first time. What makes you think you'll make it this time? Amen? I'm encouraging some of you today. You know, some people have been caught up in drugs and alcohol. They have kids that they've over and over tried to help them get out of their messes. And the enemy said to you, you know, you might as well just give that up. I don't care if you're 70, 90, 50, whatever it is. We have to encourage those that are caught in those things. We can find one good thing. Amen. I said in the first service, at the first of the year, God told me about fortifying families. And how many of you know you have some family members, you know, maybe generations down, you know, or just extended family, and you know they're not going the right way, and you know the enemy's going to get them if they stay in that position. And I felt like God said, you know, you need to be the one to make a move here. I'm thinking, well, what move am I going to make? Because am I going to say this is okay, what they're doing? And he said, no, but you have to encourage him. I thought, well, I'm going to encourage him about. And I felt like God said, you can find one good thing, can't you? Everybody say there's one good thing. Begin to encourage them in who they are. Begin to encourage them. Begin to reach out. Begin to say good things. Begin to speak what God sees and not what we see. Everybody say encourage. And so, you know, that's what had to happen here. And so Moses was really, in these first chapters of Deuteronomy, encouraging this younger generation. Listen, the same God that was with me when I came out of Egypt and led all these people, and the same God of your fathers that did those miracles, provided water, provided food, took care of you, that same God is going to go in here with us. And he's going to make a way for us to take this land, because he said he'd give it to us. He says this day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report. Everybody say, hear the report. That means that as they begin, there's going to be good reports. Good reports about them and who their God is. And they will hear that report and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Do you know, in about the third or fourth, of Joshua, Rahab, she was a prostitute. But she helped some spies that were sent in to see the land of Jericho. And in that statement she made to those three spies, she said, the people here are fearful of you. They dread you coming, just like God said he would do, because they knew that they had a God who was with them. Had they wandered around in a wilderness? Yes. Had all those things happened? Yes. But God was not going to change his mind. Turn to your neighbor and say, sorry for your luck there. It's not luck. God will never give up on you. He's going to make sure that you accomplish what he sent you to do. But even more than that, I believe God wants us to know, I am for you. And if I be for you, who can be against you? I want to show you that I am able through you to do what I've called you to do. Like that Manny back there, he's a powerful man of God. And I don't know if you saw, well, you may not be his friend on Facebook, but I got so excited, Manny, when I saw Dominic cleaning the vans. I thought, now there's a man who's passing it on to his children in taking care of the things that God gives them to take care of. He's only, what, six, five, three? Oh, there you go. Well, he acts older. And he had that sweeper, and I heard his daddy saying to him, that's the way, Dominic, keep going. Dominic's going, he looks at his dad, okay, you know, and he's sweeping with one of those hand sweepers in our vans. See, that's what Moses was saying. Tell your children, remind your children, tell your children why we're doing what we're doing. And when you get to chapter 6, it's verse 23. He says, you know, when your children start asking you, well, why are we doing this? How many of you, I'm paraphrasing, it doesn't say that just like that. But that's basically what they're saying. Why are we doing all this? I mean, what is this? Why do we have to do this? How many of you have had kids that have said that to you? Why are we doing this? You know, I don't care how old you get, you're always a parent. And your children are always going to say, why are we doing this? And your grandchildren. My grandchildren really sometimes say, one of them's right there, Grandma, why? Mima, why are we doing those? No, Annabelle's very good. I mean, she'll jump on any boat that I decide to jump on. Hallelujah. Bless her heart. God will take care of you, Annabelle. But, you know, we do get questions. Everybody say questions. And it looks impossible. And somebody says, why are you doing this? You know, why are you going to do this? And this is what he says in verse 23. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in. Everybody say, he brings us out to put us in the place he wants. So you've been brought out to be put in to somewhere. You've been brought out so God can bring you in to that which he's called you to do. So when he brings you out of those tight places, there's a purpose and a destiny that he didn't give up on the children of Israel. He's not going to give up on you, whatever that is that's in your heart. How many of you sometimes have that little dream that you remember and you think, oh, I couldn't do that? You know, we sang that song. I love that song. It's just a great song because it says letting go of every dream. But we have to let go of dreams because until we let them go, God can't give them back to us because they're ours instead of his. But when we let go of them, he gives them back in such a greater way. But the dream is still the dream. Everybody say the dream is still the dream. Whatever it is that God's spoken to you. So in this case, he said, he brought you out from that place. He showed you signs, wonders, and miracles before your eyes. And that would be all the miracles that he did against Pharaoh to get them out of Egypt. You know, all those things that God did, he did to bring them in to the promised land. And that's what God does with us when he saves us. He does all of that to bring us into the place that he's prepared for us. Is it the end? It may not be, but it's the beginning, and it's a journey. Everybody say, it's a journey. You know, next week we're going to talk about Jesus and his journey to Calvary, but it was a journey. It started from the moment he was born. Really, it started before that when God spoke to Mary, but he went on a journey. And if you read in Luke, we're going to talk in Luke 13 next week, when he got to a village, it said he didn't stop there because his face was set like a flint. Set steadfastly is what it says. There's a scripture in Isaiah 50 that said, set your face like a flint. That means you have to do what you have to do. You have to make your move. You have to set your face to go after what God has for you. It isn't going to happen just because you had a dream. Wouldn't that be nice? Just had a dream and tomorrow it happened. Hallelujah. McDonald's style supernatural. But it doesn't happen that way. The dreams that God has for you, he takes you through these places. But you'll always get there. Everybody say, I'll always get there if I believe. If you put your trust in God, you're going to get to that destination. In the end of all of this, and I don't have time to go through all the victories, but it says in one place, and I looked it up this morning, and I can't remember. It's in Deuteronomy, and I want to share this in this service. I did it in the first, but somebody needs to hear this. God said, I'm going to give you the victories, but they're going to be little by little. Because if I give them to you too quick, the enemy will be able to take you out. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. You're going to get this little by little. Why are you getting it little? How many of you want the whole thing? You know, my husband got an apple streusel pie the other night. He loves that stuff with ice cream. But he got a half of one instead of the whole one. Well, why would you get the half if you can have the whole? Amen? We want the whole thing. Everybody say the whole thing. He'll go back and get the other half. Don't worry. He already ate that half. But we want the whole thing, don't we? I mean, we want it all, right? When God tells us. But little by little, why does he say little by little? I've thought that in our walk. In this church, why is it little by little? And why do things go up and down and around and about? Because God wants you to have faith. Everybody say faith. And faith is what overcomes the enemy. And so if we don't increase our faith, little by little you get the victory, like the lion, the giant, the bear, you know, in with David. Things come little by little, but it's God's idea so he can build you up for the big thing. This generation, he continued to build them up all through Deuteronomy. When he finally passed and Joshua took over, the first words to Joshua were, be strong and be of good courage. What were the people told to do? To encourage Joshua so he would be able to do it. And all the things that Joshua did, I'm going to go to the very end of the story because I love this part of Joshua because I believe it's for all of us when we finish our race. In verse 14, it says of chapter 23, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing, everybody say not one thing, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass. Everybody say they will all come to pass. If we make the right choices, and Joshua made that choice to lead those people, all have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. You know, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and over time, situations and circumstances, decisions. We all are going to have to make decisions every day, and some we won't make right. Some we may get part of it right. Some we may get the whole thing right. But the one thing we have to know is, at the end of the story, if we keep our heart toward God and we put our trust in him, we will be able to say not one word failed of the words that God spoke to me about my life. And I can say that to you right now. For my life, not one word that God's told me has failed. Not one word. Now, I'm telling you, this journey has not been, like I was riding in a Cadillac on a racetrack that had no holes in it. Not as fast as a race car, but do you know what I'm saying? If I had to see Jesus today, I would be able to say, I did everything you told me to do, and I believe he would say, I know you did what I told you to do. That's the one thing it says. When he comes, let him find you doing what he called you to do. Whatever that is for that moment. It may not be the fulfillment. You know, Moses didn't get to go in. But he saw the fulfillment. He saw it. God let him see it. So we can always see what it is that God wants to do. And not one word, everybody say not one word, of what God said failed. Now, I want to close with this story because this was a real testimony to me, probably because when God healed my life, he took me to Oral Roberts University for a year in 1979. And I worked there, and I was a part of that vision. I saw what God did in that place. And it was real to me. I mean, God said to me, you're going to work here because I'm here. And you will feel me in this place. And I can tell you, every day I went to work, I had three little kids. Well, I had when I moved there, I had a first and third and fifth grader. And I was by myself. And when I would go to work in that building, I would feel like that God was there. It was just like his presence was on that campus. And where his presence is, then there's the power of God to bring change and to heal. And he healed my life there. But I got to hear President Roberts, and I would hear what he would say. And everything was the Holy Spirit in the now, the Holy Spirit in the now, the Holy Spirit in the now. And I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I prayed in tongues, and I believed in all that. But there it was like, learn to follow the voice of God. Learn to do what God tells you. And one of the things about him was he was not the one to build the university. He said that. He would say that. I was not the one to build this university. But the person who was called to do it did not do it, would not do it. And God said to me, will you do this for me? Everybody say, it's your move. And he said, okay. And he suffered. I was there just in 79. And then we were there again for 8 years in the 80s. That man suffered all the time through the newspaper, through people talking, saying things against him. He lost a daughter in a son-in-law and daughter in an airplane crash. He lost a son to drugs. He lost things that he was fighting for the things of God, and he lost other things. In the first service, Kelly out of worship talked about Job and how his beginning was good, but his latter days were better. But what was in between was not the easiest time in his life. And that reminded me, because that's Brother Roberts. I actually did meet the man. And when you looked in his eyes, I'm telling you, you could see Jesus. You could see the anointing. They were so, talk about set like a flint. I mean, his purpose, his destiny was set on those young people being raised up to change the world, to change a nation. Well, he turned the university over to his son through circumstances, and I don't know what all. Anyway, the university got in a lot of debt, and his son, the board removed his son, And our pastor, Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, ended up stepping in and working in that position of president of that university. Now, he never intended to be the president of the university, but to be the president of the university, you have to have a doctor's degree. But Pastor Billy Joe got his master's degree in the midst of all that travel to Russia, all the things he was doing for God. God told him, you need to go get your doctorate degree. He went to ORU, got his doctorate degree. It was his move. It was his move. He had to get it. But so that down the road, he could step in and save what God wanted in that university, because he was a Holy Spirit in the now person. And so he stepped in and he took it. It was a great sacrifice for his health, a great sacrifice for his family, because he still had a church of about 12,000 people. He had a Bible school. He had a mission school. He had all these things going, and he steps into a university right across the street because he had a relationship with Brother Roberts. He took that position. In that time, a man called Mark Green, who is a part of the Green family, which is Hobby Lobby, Mardell's, things like that, that are Christian. And you know they take a stand always for the things of God. And so that family came and talked to Billy Joe and others and said, I will give $70 million to rescue this university. I believe God said to him, it's your move. And he did it. Ultimately, he gave $110,000 to save that university. At the same time, God spoke to another man, Mark Rutland, who is a was a pastor. Then he was the president of Southeastern University down in Orlando. I think that's the name of it, Southeastern. He went in there, turned that whole university around. And so at ORU, the board that came on said, we need this man. So he came, and he stayed there for a few years. And he got everything turned back the direction financially. Everybody say financially. He had a great mind in those areas, plus what he knew spiritually and pastoring. He was the one that God said, it's your move. It's your move. You'll have to take this position. He took it. But there was a time that came and he said, it's not my move anymore. It's somebody else. At that point, they found Billy Wilson. Now, Billy Wilson was a man who was already out there in the world, doing what's called Empowered 21, which is all about the Holy Ghost, all about, everybody say the Holy Spirit. ORU is a Holy Spirit school. It's one of the few schools left in the United States that believes in the move of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts and the anointing of God to save, heal, and deliver, and the move of the Holy Spirit. And God was not letting go of that. So he said to Billy Wilson, it's your move. The man's already busy. The man's already all over the world. But he took the position, and he is now there. The university, well, there's this big sign, make no small plans here. Everybody say, God doesn't make small plans. But he needs people who, when he taps them on the shoulder and says, it's your move, they say, yes, sir, my move. I'll be about that right now. Amen. I say to you today, it's time. God has given us messages all through the month of March. You can start over. And now I believe he's saying, it's your move. It's my move. It's the move for the church. If they'll step in, God is about to do great things. And he will do great things in your life. But it's your move. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for the love of God that prevails in every person's life here today. Lord, I know you're calling people into places that they've never maybe walked before, maybe situations where they have walked and not done as well as they could have. Maybe they failed, somebody else failed, doesn't matter. But I thank you today in this place that it is our move. It is our move. It's time to rise up and take your journey. Life is a journey. Things happen on that journey. There can be detours. There can be paths that we take that take us away from the main purpose. But God's word says all things still work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So no matter where you're at today, the message today is it's time to rise up.